So last few months, we've been on a series entitled Heaven. And on Easter, we finished that series, and we had an awesome family fun day. Who had fun at family fun day last week? And so today, we're going to start a new series. It'll be over the next 3 weeks, entitled It's All About Me. Now, Keegan alluded to it earlier. It's not about you, but really it's Jesus who's saying it's all about me. And it's important because in our increasingly self-absorbed society, we want everything to be about us. We want it to be about our comfort. We want it to be about our preference. We want it to be about our style. We want it to be about our needs. There's even movies, songs, shirts. And when I searched It's All About Me, there were thousands of images that said it's all about me. I mean, even Lil Wayne had a verse, me, it's all about me. You know, not saying I'm going to rap. That's not my thing. But really, over the course of this series, we want to challenge you to make it about Jesus. And so really, today's message is entitled, Follow Me. Follow Me. Let's open up our Bibles to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. And we're going to read verse 16 through 20. Mark chapter 1, 16 through 20. We got it up here on the screen if you don't have your Bible, but we're going to go ahead and get started in verse 16. It says, as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. And without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. A few years ago, I picked up a book called Not a Fan. It's written by Kyle Eidelman. And in the book, he laid out how our Western culture is extremely self-absorbed. And so it flows into our perception of Christianity, because many times we can take on the identity of fans rather than followers. He said the biggest threat to the church today is fans who call themselves Christians but aren't actually interested in following Christ. They want to be close enough to Jesus to get all the benefits, but not so close that it requires anything from them. His basic premise was that our Christianity in many ways has gotten to the point where we essentially put on a jersey with Jesus' name on it. But instead of being on the field, we're in the stands, cheering Jesus on, cheering other people on. But we don't really get in the game. We don't get dirty. We become as invested as someone who just is sitting on a couch on a Sunday watching people play the game. But as we pick up the story in Mark chapter 1, we see an example of what Jesus calls us to do. He was going along preaching the gospel, and he saw these four trained fishermen. And he determined it was time for them to get into the game. Now, many of us might see this, and at first glance, it might seem like as soon as Jesus called them, they came with no background, no understanding of who he was. They just dropped everything and left. But really, if you look in John chapter 1, you'll see they knew who Jesus was. John the Baptist had pointed to Jesus and said, this is the one that I've been preaching about. And so the very thing that happened to them was something that has to happen to each and every one of us when we choose to follow Jesus. Jesus reoriented their identity. He reoriented their identity. He said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. I will teach you how to fish for people. He said, come and I will make. You do your part, and I'll do mine. Jesus makes it clear that when we follow him, his desire is to reorient who we are into an identity that aligns with him. This past week, Koya is my line brother, we celebrated 10 years in our fraternity, Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated. But at that point in time, my identity was completely wrapped up in what I could get for myself. My identity was wrapped up in the popularity that came from being a frat guy, the prestige, the access, the resources. And until a few years later, Jesus had to interrupt my plans. He came in and decided he had better plans, but he wanted to use the things that he had given me and the resources and the access that he had given me. And really, that's what Jesus does when he reorients our identity. He doesn't strip you of all the things that make you you. Instead, he allows your identity to be him, but then uses all the things that he's given you to his glory. The difference is that when you follow Jesus, he takes the lead and he establishes who you are and who you ultimately represent. But he gives you clarity. Many times we go about life and we're just kind of meandering through trying to create our own story, trying to create our own path. And when he interrupts us, he says, look, I got you. I got something that I want you to do. I want to make you a fisher of men. And so really he rearranges our priority. He changes what we deem as important. When Jesus called these men, they literally left everything behind. Everything. They left the business. They left their livelihood. They left their families. Because their identity was no longer in the boat. And their priority was no longer their nets. Once Jesus commanded them to follow through, they knew enough to say he represented something that needed to take precedence over everything else. If you were to evaluate your life and the way you live each and every day, would you be able to say the same? Would you be able to say that Jesus is your priority? Jesus is your identity? Jesus is the one that you focus on each and every day? Is he calling you out of the boat of comfort? Out of the boat of security? Is he calling you to shift your priority from chasing after your good grades, your relationships, your career aspirations, to make his kingdom the priority? Jesus doesn't call us to neglect the things that we love, but instead he just calls us to make them lower on the totem pole than what we initially had them at. Too many times we put the things that we deem as important higher than Jesus, but still continue to carry the banner of, I'm a Christian. I'm following Jesus. But as I alluded to earlier, my life at the time was all about the frat. Everything I did was geared towards doing something with my frat brothers or wearing the banner of the frat or using the frat to get where I wanted to go. But about 3 years ago, all of that was interrupted. I received a call from one of my frat brothers to do an interview. And I really didn't know what the interview was for. I didn't know what it was about. But I got there, and he said, I just happened to be doing a project on discipleship. And I was like, this is my chance. It's my time to shine. And so he interviewed me and asked, what is discipleship? And I gave him scriptures, and I talked about my conviction on discipleship. But right after me, there was another brother in my fraternity who was there. And he got up to get the interview, and he was just struggling. He was stumbling through the answers like, well, I mean, you know, I think discipleship is, I don't know what that might be. And I slowly began to realize that God had placed me in that position to be able to speak to my frat brothers about who God is. And so my reoriented identity wasn't I was stripped of my closeness with my frat brothers, but it just shifted my priority to making sure that Jesus was the one that I was representing in those situations. So eventually the opportunity came, and this brother was, you know, we were chopping it up and we were eating some food, and he said, I want to know a little more about that discipleship thing. What does that even mean? What does that even look like? So I said, let's go get some pizza. So we went to get pizza, and we talked about Jesus. We talked about his life. We talked about this brother's life, and little did I know, he was truly searching for God. He was really trying to build his relationship with God and didn't even know where to start. But God had orchestrated everything for that moment because he had called me to be a fisher of men. He had called me out of what I wanted to be in to place me in the position to speak to more people in my circle about God. So over the next couple months, me and this brother got together and looked in the scriptures, and he made a decision that he really wanted to repent, be baptized, and truly follow Jesus. And now Jamel is your brother and has been making a lot of decisions. And over the last 3 years, he's been a fisher of men. He's been able to help more and more and more people get to know who God is. But what if I never took the opportunity to allow Jesus to rearrange my priorities? What if I didn't take the opportunity to see that following Jesus meant that I was going to do exactly what he would do and reach people where they were? How many people around you are possibly searching for a relationship with God, but you don't want to share it? How many people around you are possibly reaching out, wondering who they can relate to on a deeper level? Because all of us have pieces of our identity that resonates with somebody else. There are people that you can relate to that I may never be able to relate to. There are people that I may be able to relate to that may not even let you talk to them. But what if all of us used all of our identities in Christ to truly follow Jesus? You know, Jamel had to make a lot of decisions to trust God. We're not going to go into all the details. But one of the things that many men have to battle with when they're deciding to trust God with everything is women. And vice versa. There are many women that have to make a decision to trust God with men. But ultimately, to follow Jesus, it requires trust. Everything about following Jesus requires trust. When you look back at Mark 1, how much did these men really have to trust Jesus to leave their livelihood, to leave the family business? He took them from their security, their comfort zones, the places of familiarity, and then he challenged them to do things they never would have thought they could do. If these men would have stayed in their boats with their nets, they would have been in obscurity for the rest of history. But making one decision led to them us knowing their names for the rest of history. We now know who Peter, James, John, Andrew, we now know who they are. But can you imagine the conversation Peter had to have with his wife? Peter was married because Jesus healed his mother-in-law. So it just stands to reason that he was married. Hey, yeah, today, I know things been a little tight around here, but I left my job. You did what? So you're not fishing no more. Okay. I see. You're going to follow this homeless man around all day. Sounds like a plan. But put yourself in their shoes. Many times we make a commitment to say Jesus is Lord and say that we're truly following him until there comes a time when it requires more than we're willing to give. All throughout the New Testament, Matthew 8, Luke 18, you encounter people that say, I want to follow you. What does it take? Matthew 8, the man says, I'll follow you wherever you go. And Jesus says, I'm homeless. Foxes have holes. Birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Would you follow Jesus? Realistically, I don't know. I like my bed a little too much. I like knowing where I'm going to be every night. But many times we miss out on understanding that wholeheartedly following Jesus is not glamorous. It doesn't always look good. When you make Jesus Lord and he rearranges your priority and reorients your identity, he's asking you, do you truly 100% trust me? Do you trust me with your career? Do you trust me with your relationship? Do you trust me with your grades? Do you trust me with your comfort? Do you trust me with your security? Do you trust me more than you trust yourself? Now, many times when I talk to people about trusting God, they don't really get it. It doesn't make a lot of sense to them. And really, you know, sometimes God is asking us, look, this is what you got. You got three measly dollars in your hand. $3. Now, this $3 could be everything to you. It can be your life, can be that comfort and that security. But he's asking you to give it up, and he's saying, look, there's really only one way for you to get what I got for you. Because if you keep it in your hand like this, what's getting in? So your little measly $3 might be okay, because you're going to clutch on to that. But what if I said God is trying to give you everything that he's got? Part of trusting God is saying what I'm holding on to is a lot less than what God is trying to give me. And so when we are faced with these challenges, you got to remember, like, God freely gives and freely takes away. But if your hand is open, he's at least giving you the opportunity to receive everything that he's promised. But following him requires trust. Like I said earlier, we have these examples in the scriptures. We have the names of people who we would never ordinarily know about. You have the rich young ruler who nobody knows his name. And then you have Zacchaeus. We know his name. What was the difference? Zacchaeus decided to give up everything to follow Jesus. The rich young ruler decided to hold on to what he had. Will your name forever be known in the kingdom of God? Will you allow him to do all the things that he wants to do in changing who you are, changing your priority, and allowing you to trust him? This week, there have been two young ladies who made a decision to wholeheartedly trust God. Last week, we saw at a family fun day, Logan Alexander got baptized. And then in the middle of this week, Tyra Gaines got baptized. Y'all can have a seat. They both made a decision to follow Jesus. Will you? If you've been a disciple for any amount of time, it may have become, you know, just humdrum for you. It may have been something that used to be exciting. Following Jesus used to be something you were on the edge to do, and you just kind of just move through life now, hoping that you're good just because you did it a long time ago. Or you may be at a place where you're really trying to grow in your relationship with God, and you're really trying to seek out what God wants from you and wants for you. And today, after service, we're having our first journey class. And really, that's what it's about. It's about sitting down and getting in the scriptures and seeing what it is that God wants from you. Seeing how it is you can say with clarity, I want to follow Jesus. And so now we're going to take communion. But let's pray and really reflect on who God is and the sacrifice that Jesus made so that we could have an opportunity to follow him. Heavenly Father, God, thank you for calling us. Thank you for reaching down in the darkness and the depths that each and every one of us have been in at some point or could be in right now. God, I thank you for making it so that we have an opportunity to respond. While we're still alive, while we're still here, able to hear the gospel. God, I pray that if at any point we stop seeing it as the good news, that you can really continually reorient our hearts so that we can truly follow him with everything that we have, abandoning our comfort, abandoning our security, and following Jesus even to the point of death. God, let us not forget, and let us not become jaded to all the things that had to happen and all the ways that you orchestrated our lives and allowed us to cross paths with those who introduced us to your word. God, we love you, and we just pray that you will continue to move in our lives. In your son Jesus' name we pray. Amen.